The following programming is sponsored by Factorum Business Solutions. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
And Voice of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Hey, Pat, turn your volume up a little bit. Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call in, join the conversation. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. You can also send us your comments via social media. Our Twitter handle is @ToneAndTenor. Our Instagram handle is @ToneAndTenorRadio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. Our topic today is COVID-19, the rise and fall of the iconic historic Church of the Advocate located here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The Church of the Advocate, also known as the George W. South Memorial Protestant Episcopal Church, is a historic church at 18th and Diamond Street in North Philadelphia. The Advocate became a center of activism for the civil rights movement, embracing the cause of African American and women's rights. It was a site of several nationally significant events of these movements, including the National Conference of Black Power, 1968, the Black Panther Conference, 1970, and the ordination of women into the Episcopal Church in 1974. Once intended to serve at the Episcopal Cathedral of Philadelphia, the Church of the Advocate is one of the best American examples of Gothic Revival style and the only major one of its period based systematically on French sources. The church's architect, Charles Burns, is recognized as one of the most prominent church architects in the late 19th and 20th century. After the collapse of the Church of the Advocate's inner walls, the church's survival and historic role under the leadership of the late Father Paul Washington is not only Philadelphia, but throughout the Episcopal Church and the world is in a downward tailspin. Unfortunately, there has been no sense of urgency by the City of Philadelphia, the Episcopal Diocese of Pennsylvania, the Episcopal Church USA, the Episcopal Black Clerics, and the Union of Black Episcopalians to address this situation. Today, the Church of the Advocate is desperately in need of major repairs. Why has this not been known? and why has it not been addressed? Why has there been no mainstream talk about the wall collapse and the need for major repairs and restoration of this historic Black Episcopal Church here in these United States? Those who are cowards will ask, is it safe? Those who are political will ask, is it expedient? Those who are in vain will ask, is it popular? But those who have a conscience will ask, is it right? The late Father Paul Washington. Those were his words. Joining us today in studio is Mr. Tyler A. Ray. He is a community organizer, activist, and program manager. Ray is a community organizer and activist based here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. His call to be a social activist was deeply inspired by his life growing up in North Central Philadelphia and witnessing the systematic racism that has plagued the North Philadelphia for generations. Tyler's political approach to community activism has led him to take on the task of saving the historic Church of the Advocate and bring awareness to its plight. He is a Republican 16th ward leader, and as a ward leader, he has hosted workshops to empower young African Americans to become more politically involved, to potentially run for public office, and help build positive relationships between police departments and community residents. In April of 2020, he was promoted to the role of neighborhood organizer for Urban Creators. He is one of 17 members of Philadelphia's Environmental Justice Advisory Commission. Their role is to push the city's environmental injustices like heat, extreme heat, flooding, and air pollution. The group is tasked with making recommendations to the mayor, city council, and city agencies to study, report on, and address environmental justice issues. He earned his BS degree in urban planning and architectural preservation from Tyler School of Art and Architecture at Temple University and was the commencement speaker. His overall goal in life is to design and create a North Philadelphia that is economically stable, self-reliant for the current and future generations. Tyler, welcome to the Tony Tennis Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, Pat and Tyler, as I read that, I had to think about this. And it was yesterday that we made the decision that we were going to begin to address the situation of the historic Church of the Advocate, who was led for 40 years by the late Father Paul Washington. And then after that came the Reverend Miller, and then the Reverend Renee McKenzie. But through it all, the Church of Advocate has been a pillar of activism.
Yes.
You know, not just for the Black community. In reality, it was a pillow for meetings, as I stated. It was a pillow. We just celebrated the 11 women that were ordained into the Episcopal Church. It was Father Washington that bucked the system.
Yes. That was 48 years ago?
48 years ago.
Yeah.
He bucked the system. And to all of you women that are now priests in the Episcopal Church, it was because of Father Washington and the Church of the Advocate bucking the system.
And would it also be safe to say that being women in the Episcopal Church, that was the first major Christian denomination as well to allow that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and so when we look at this historic building, and you know, Pat and I talk about buildings a lot, and the architecture in Philadelphia, there's only one other church that in the Episcopal Church that would be Swede's Church, Old Swede's Church, mm-hmm. on 2nd and Columbus Boulevard. And what we're finding that when I found out and saw the pictures of the walls crumbling down, that's why we played Crumbling Down. The walls are crumbling.
That was a nice touch.
What? It wasn't crumbling. That was. I mean, that place is falling apart. I mean, I was flabbergasted those photos that you sent me via email. I mean, man,
you can't even talk.
Huh?
You can't even get it out.
Because I wish there was some way for us to share those pictures with the folks that are listening.
They are so actually they shared on the Tone and Tenor Facebook page. They're shared on my personal page. And they're going to be shared some other places as well.
All right. So I'll share off of your page then.
Right. Because, you know, and let's talk about this because this is nothing new. When Father Washington actually, the last major grant of $500,000 to begin the restoration process came at the end, as Kima Washington's son said, he didn't know whether his father had anything to do with it or not, but $500,000 in 87 was a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know, and Tyler, what do you think has caused this downward spiral? And why do you think, and if you think, because we've sat here and talked about it, we don't even understand why there's no sense of urgency by the Episcopal Diocese of Pennsylvania. But Pat can attest to this. The diocese, during at the beginning of the pandemic, we were working with another person out of St. John's in Norristown, and we were literally evicted or thrown out while we were trying to serve other people. And what was it for? So they can do the floors, put in offices for the bishop, for the staff. When they had offices in the brand new building built on 38th Street here in the city of Philadelphia. And this was a result of the sale. This wasn't the first time that the Diocese of Pennsylvania sold their main building, their office building. They sold 4th Street to help fund the restoration of what I know as the Church of the Savior and to build that building. And that was, it all started under Dean Giles.
And you're talking about the high rise.
At the corner at 38th, mm-hmm. And which is interesting. And then before that, on Rittenhouse Square was the churches. They sold 4th Street, but before 4th Street was the offices was on Rittenhouse Square. They sold that building, and folks, and people can get angry with me or not, majority of that money was given to the black churches, and the money was squandered. It is in a book written by Bishop DeWitt. It was squandered. But not all churches received this money. But yet and still, when we talk of the Episcopal Church, the only church that people want to talk about is the African Episcopal Church of St. Thomas, located here and founded by Absalom Jones, who was a friend of the founder of Mother Bethel AME Church. And folks, if you think about Episcopal churches that say chapel, those chapels were built because the larger white churches did not want African Americans in their church. They were built. Beautiful little edifices. But the question now is, why is there no? Where are the politicians? Why is there no money? And the Church of the Advocate is not just on the state national on registry preservation, but it's on the national.
That's the highest level. Yeah, the national.
The national. Yep. The national. Folks, and when the call for help came, before the wall came crumbling down, there was deaf ears. But if you ride past 18th and Diamond today, you would say, Randall, what are you talking about? The wall crumbled from the courtyard, correct?
Yes, the courtyard.
So you can see into, what's that second level? What office? Was that a classroom or?
The second level of the parish house that used to be an auditorium.
Yeah, the auditorium. You can literally, if they have not covered it up, you can literally see into the auditorium. But why? And yet and still, there's still tours going on. You don't go out into the courtyard. You know, where, oh, where are the folks? You know, think about this. Everybody, John Coltrane, wasn't he a member?
Yes.
John Coltrane was a member of the Church of the Advocate. And look how his house went in disarray. We got to do better, people. We got to do better. We have Tyler here. Tyler, tell us what you're saying, what you think is going on, and what you feel needs to be done.
Sure. So I say this as a perspective of a 24-year-old who's not necessarily aware about what's going on behind the scenes, but just as a lifelong parishioner, this is what I can see. Mm-hmm. This is what seems evident to me. My family has been going to the Advocate for over 60 years. My grandmother went there before Paul Washington was there, mm-hmm. while Jesse Anderson was the rector for a short time there.
Yep.
And
I forgot about Jesse. He went to St. Thomas. That's
oh, really?
Where I became, I was an acolyte under Jesse Anderson Sr.
Really? Great. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, my family's been there for over 60 years, and I was baptized there. But I always remember the Advocate as being like almost like a private club in a way. It really wasn't that much of a welcoming space.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was just the architecture and the paintings and the murals inside not welcoming, the people themselves weren't that welcoming either.
Well, that's all over the Episcopal Church.
I know that's a very Episcopal thing.
You know,
very snooty.
You know, they use the slogan, "We're a welcoming church," but not too many of them are welcoming. If you're not of part of the classism part.
Exactly. Yeah. So, it wasn't really a welcoming environment, but my grandmother, she was on the choir. She was actually also part of the Absalom Jones Choir.
Mm-hmm.
So she used to go around to other Episcopal churches and sing in their choirs as well. But after a while, a lot of those people who weren't welcoming started to die out,
mm-hmm.
and their families never came to service. So after a while, not being a welcoming congregation, being very secluded, and people start dying, there's now no one to refill those seats.
Mm-hmm.
And the Advocate had special programs such as Art mm-hmm. Sanctuary that was formed out of the Advocate, Mighty Writers
right.
that was formed out of the Advocate, but none of those youth really had an obligation to come to service.
Right.
And there was another an initiative to bring more youth in North Philadelphia into the church. So once those old congregants started to die out, there was no one to replace them. And I would like to say that I'm probably the youngest person that still goes to the Advocate.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a deeply religious person, so there was a few years that I did not go back to mm-hmm. the Advocate. I just really, you know, I didn't go back to Sunday service. But it wasn't until I went to school for architecture. And in one of my architectural historian classes, we were learning about the Gothic, you know, movement in France in the 1100s. And while we were in class, we were going through slideshows. And I told my professor, instead of us seeing slideshows, how about we just walk down the block to an actual Gothic cathedral? And she had no idea what I was talking about. By the way, this is Temple University, just 5 blocks away from Church of the Advocate. She had no idea what I was talking about. So
yeah, that's historically how it is. I mean, even some of the, don't get mad, people won't get mad, but that's fine. a lot of the HBCUs, like down in Atlanta, D.C., they're in some of the poorest areas, but there's rich history on a lot of, you know, cultural, architectural, and just economical, but nobody pays attention to these things. And then you have these textbook teachers, you know, right, these lifelong students, right,
yeah.
who get a bunch of PhDs. And that's fine. Hey, you're smart. That's great. But that doesn't mean that you can teach.
Agreed. Yeah, it's that disconnect.
You know, Pat, you touched on something that was real interesting, too, because, you know, and a lot of people don't realize this, but, you know, there were several black Episcopal HBCUs. And the same thing, what you just said, Pat, they one has closed. Some are on lifelines. Voorhees College is actually named after Ralph Voorhees, who lived right over here in New Jersey. And Elizabeth yeah. Wright, Ralph Voorhees was blind. And Elizabeth Wright came from South Carolina. She needed some money to build to buy the land to build a school. And, you know, it's always say you must be able to sell yourself in about, he gave her 2 minutes of his time. In that 2 minutes, she impressed him so well that he invited her to stay. And when she left the Philadelphia, New Jersey area, she left with enough money to buy the land and build a building.
Wow, that is really impressive.
You know, yeah. You know, but when you talk about these churches and the religious and how they are, you know, these were the only places we could go. And now we have the hokey pokeys that don't want to realize the rich, you know, Pat is the environmentalist, all of that, and the historian, likes the history, likes the buildings. And, you know, when people don't know or they try to hide the history, we have a problem. Yes, you can talk about St. Thomas, the African-American Church of St. Thomas, but as a member, I'm being upfront, I was and am a member of St. Thomas Episcopal Church here in Philadelphia. But when it was on 52nd Street at Parish, most folks don't really, let me say this, back up a second. Church of the Advocate is on the original premises. It has never moved. Like so many black churches have done. The Church of the African Episcopal Church of St. Thomas is now located at 63rd Lancaster. Before that, when I became into the church, it was at 52nd and Parish. No one knew. We used to joke, and I told this story before, that there was bodies in the undercroft. Mm-hmm. But we didn't know it was the ashes of Absalom Jones. We didn't know that his altar was up under the undercroft.
Who is a huge deal, by the way.
That's
the very first black priest
in the
Episcopal Church.
Why would anybody, you know, not know? And people, you want to check me, you can. My neighbor, Mrs. Evans, paid to have his altar that they are using at St. Thomas restored. She has long passed away. But these are the things that people, you know, forget. And as we talk about Father Washington and continue to talk about the Church of the Advocate and what needs to be done and why there's a deaf ear. Yes, it's a deaf ear. And I'm going to start calling names and I'm taking numbers. But right now we're going to take a break. You're listening to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania.
A blood red circle on the cold dark ground, and the rain is falling down. The church door's thrown open, I can hear the organ song, and the congregation's gone. My city of ruin. Scattered leaves. The boy. streets while my brother's down on his knees. My city of ruin.
Come on and rise up. Let's rise up for the Church of the Advocate. Let's reborn it. Let's, you know, you're listening to Tony Tanner here on WWDB. I'm Randall Jefferson. We're talking, our topic today is the rise and fall of the iconic, historic Church of the Advocate. You know, I may have used, it may be a little harsh, the rise and fall. Right now, the only thing that has fallen are some of the walls. But if we don't make a valid effort, this church would be just like the church at 43rd and Chestnut Street, who was another Gothic church that a developer came in, tore down, and now there's a apartment building going up, a high rise in a University City area.
An apartment building that's just a rectangle.
Yes.
Nothing impressive,
no history,
about it.
And unfortunately, you know, there is no marker there. Yeah. So if the Church Advocate went down, a marker is there. But this other church, when it went down, the wrecking ball took out the stained glass windows, took out everything, the altar. You know, the same thing that happened to Transfiguration. It is now where Boys Latin sits today. And I knew the gentleman, the company, the mother of the gentleman, the company that took that building down, Transfiguration Church. And his crew cried every day and hoped that somebody would come in and at least take the stained glass windows out.
Mm-hmm. People nowadays, I guess they just don't understand the value.
It's history.
Of that craftsmanship.
They don't understand the history. And until we, you know, with everything that's going on in our urban cities, we still have a vast knowledge of history that needs to be kept. You know,
yeah, but I think to add to what he said, Randall, is he said the value, right? But there is, people know the price of stuff, but they don't know the value, especially if they're focused on the volume, mm-hmm. right? Hence, all of these crappy buildings that are going up in West North Philly, and even up here, even up where I'm at in West Germantown, like
that will blow down in a minute.
Yeah, it's not as, they don't build as disrespectfully up here because there are some people who advocate and there's some powerful people up this way, but they're still doing it. Like there is a place that they're building up on. It's right across the street from Annalingelbach Elementary Middle School off of Johnson and Wayne. They just knocked this building over. It looked like a historic building that was built with stone and everything, but they knocked it over and they're just putting something new. And a lot of stuff is being done right under our noses. That's kind of part of it too. And neglect. Mm-hmm. Remember, Brenda, we did a whole show on crumbling infrastructure.
Right.
Right. We have a C, Pennsylvania has a C grade. So I could only just imagine buildings, especially anything built pre-asbestos.
Right. You think about it. I'm looking here. I'm going to hold this. I don't think it'll show. But this is the cornerstone laying of the Church of the Advocate on May 30th, 1892. This is the only picture that, from what Tyler tells me, that's in existence of the cornerstone being laid on May 30th of 1892.
So, yeah, Church of the Advocate has been in disrepair for many, many, many years. Ever since I was a child, it was mm-hmm. in disrepair. And there used to be a safe in the sacristy, mm-hmm. huge safe, big vaults, the old style bank vault. And all the church records were stored in that safe. And many years ago, the safe was leaking with water damage. If it was raining heavy outside, that safe was raining as well. And almost all the historical records that were in that church were destroyed by water. And luckily, my dad used to be a sexton at the church. So there were many things that he saw that were being damaged. So he took it upon himself to take. And being that I'm his son, I just naturally had the same intuition to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I was able to rescue some things. But yeah, as far as I know, many of the images that that church used to have, many of the log books, many of the diaries, those things are now lost. So now when I tell my stories and histories about the Church of the Advocate, a lot of it is hearsay. A lot of it is just based off of what congregants tell me, because now those primary sources, those papers that were once in that safe are now destroyed. So who knows what else could have possibly happened? Even before, you know, Paul Washington, who knows what was happening in the Advocate in the 1920s, in the 1930s. We really don't know.
Wow. You know, it's interesting because, you know, one of the first, as we talk about things that happened, you know, let's just think about it this way. Philadelphia is the birthplace of our nation. So we have a lot of history here, a lot of history. And, you know, I've always said, instead of trying to be New York or D.C., why don't we develop our strengths? And that's the history, our iconic buildings. You know, there are people out there that want to hear these stories. You know, yes, we have the African American Museum, but I can guarantee you that if we go in the African American Museum here in Philadelphia, not too many people will know, or there's not, to my knowledge, a display of the Church of the Advocate and what role it played in the history of the city of Philadelphia. You know, yes, it's just a building, and it's an iconic building, but it's a building with a lot of history. You know, it's interesting that we now, you know, we hear these folks, black church, black Episcopalian, black, well, hell, this is a black church falling down. This is the pillow of the black church. Yes, St. Thomas and Absalom Jones founded part of the black church as a priest. Why? Because the whites didn't want him. But this church, some of the first AA meetings, I was reading some documentation that I found, was held at the Church of the Advocate, and city officials were the ones that led these AA meeting number one and meeting number two.
Yeah. And also the first CDC, the first Community Development Corporation,
was at the Church of the Advocate, founded by Father Washington and his wife, Christine Washington. First CDC.
So that's why when I love to talk about Church of the Advocate, it's not always just the religious aspect of it,
right,
too. It's also just the social services that this church has established in this country that many people don't know or don't even care about the creation of. Like, a lot of cities take advantage of CDCs, but not knowing the history of a CDC, why it came to be. And that was because Paul Washington, when he moved to North Philadelphia, he saw just the disinvestment in that neighborhood due to the effects of redlining, you know, stripping of city resources. So he knew that it had to be him, his wife, and the people in that neighborhood to care for themselves, because they already know that the city wasn't doing that much to save them. So that was a CDC is definitely the prime example of unity and community. Let's get our resources together and build each other up. And I can say that the Advocate definitely played a national leading role for that.
Absolutely. You know, you sound like Pat there. Pat's quiet. I'm like, you know, I think I shouldn't have sent them those pictures.
Nah, I'm listening. I mean, he's really just, you know, resonating a lot of stuff that I'm always battling about, and just how, you know, white flight, which happens about every 30 years, whether it's in the city or away from the city. I mean, we know now it's going towards the city. But again, these are things that people don't want to talk about. And a lot of what he said around redlining, a lot of those, the reason why we have a lot of this challenge in North Philly, you know, I used to live off of 18th and Thompson, and there were buildings even there that's falling apart because a lot of those elders bought their houses outright, right? Everybody had to save their money. You know, Randall, you and your mother had shared stories with me about how, like, you know, the family band together and they were buying buildings one at a time. But when you have to do it that way, you can't borrow against your asset, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of stuck between a rock and a harder place.
Hmm. Absolutely. You know, and this is, you know, this is very, you know, Father Washington, and like Tyler said, it's not just about the Episcopal Church. It's about the role, you know, churches were the pillars of the community.
Yes.
You know, today, most of your ministers, priests, rabbis, they have a disconnect with the community. And in the Episcopal Church, you know, it's what I call the clock watching. You know, on Sundays, everybody comes in. If it's a football Sunday, but they'd be rushing to get out. You know, but there's no, I'm not putting everybody in the category. There is not any community relationship. And you can't solve some of these problems unless the pillars of the community are involved. You know, you can't go home to your house in Jersey or your house over in the Main Line, you know, or your house, you know, from West Philadelphia to the beautiful parts of Queen Village, you know, in South Philadelphia. You know, you've got to be a part of the community. A story that I found interesting before St. Thomas was granted permission to leave 52nd Street, they were supposed to come back to the community and assist in the community from time to time. Mm-hmm.
Did that hold up?
That's $1 million question that I'm not even going to answer. But these are the things, you know, we didn't have all of these. Let's think about it, Pat. You're a little bit younger than I am, and Tyler. There was not all of these grassroots organizations years ago. The doors of the churches were open, not for you, not trying to force you to become a member of the church, but it was the safe haven where you can find the things that you needed for everyday survival.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's named Church of the Advocate.
Not to be confused with the Church of the Advocate in North Carolina.
Yeah, you're not that one. Oh, I think they changed their name now to the Red Door Episcopal Church. Because I control Church of the Advocate's Instagram page, mm-hmm. and I follow that one. And I think they changed their name because of the confusion. But yeah, when the Advocate was established in 1884, it was a white congregation. It right. was a white church. Mm-hmm. And even though they still had the issue of, you know, Black exclusion, it was still a radical place at the time, mm-hmm. because it was one of the very first churches to eliminate the pew rent. And pew rent was a system that you had to pay for your seat in church. And the closer you sat to the altar, the more expensive your pew rent was.
See, and everybody thought I was making a joke out of that when you saw the names on the pews of St. Thomas. Here it is. Mm-hmm. It's from a 24-year-old. I didn't tell him that. You had a plaque.
Yeah.
You had a plaque put on the pew. Your family name. That was your family's pew.
It was. Yeah. And that was definitely a status symbol. And even though, so the name of the church, the full name is the George W. South mm-hmm. Memorial. George W. South was a banker, jewelry maker, high class, wealthy man. But he wanted to create a church that served as a mission to tear down those class systems. So the Church of the Advocate served as a church for the working class people. It served as a center for the newly incoming North Philadelphia residents who were at the time German immigrants. Mm-hmm. It served as a missions church for them as well. Mm-hmm. So by the 1950s, when North Philadelphia started to change demographics to predominantly black, even before that, it still always had that mission-oriented sense, whether that was also breaking down class barriers. Mm-hmm. So that still shows you that even though the church still goes through many transformations, grassroots organizing was always at the core center of it.
Mm-hmm. No matter what, you know, whether it was black or white, it was and is. I'm not even going to say was because it's still standing.
It is.
Right now. And, you know, we need to figure out, you know, Sharif Street, Senator Sharif Street, Congressman Dwight Evans, Senator Bob Casey, all of you need to come together and figure out, as you throw this money around to all of these do-nothing organizations that have no, as what we always call for, metrics, how to help sustain this edifice and its history and help build a future, whether church or a social impact building. We need to figure it out. And we don't have a lot of time.
We don't.
Because every time we get rain, heat, the water is going seeping down. And not only that, there's Crips. There's Crips in the church.
Yes. The entire George W. South family are buried down there. The first priest of the church and his wife are buried down there. There are a few congregants who are buried down there. And these people are actually very interesting. So I'm doing some biographies of the people who are buried down there. So George W. South was actually on the shortlist to be Zachary Taylor's vice president. There's a man down there named Gustavus Cook, who was an astronomer who worked at the Franklin Institute. So, like, these are very prominent people. There's a woman named Lavinia Cook, his mother, who was buried there. She was a Philadelphia socialite. And if you go to the Philadelphia Museum of Art, her portrait is hanging in the American Art Gallery. So these are high-class American socialites that are buried in that church.
Mm-hmm. And there were spaces left because the Church of the Advocate was supposed to be the seat of the bishop.
It was when it was first
built.
So
there were actually crypts left for the burial of the bishops that served the Episcopal Diocese of PA.
The plan was to move Bishop White from Christ Church burial ground into the Advocate, and then every bishop afterwards were all supposed to be filled in. Yeah.
Wow.
So that just shows you how the work that went into creating this building.
Right. And the thought.
And the thought behind
process,
it.
You know, and the continuation of, you know, as we talk about the Church of the Advocate, as we move into modern days, you know, I had the honor to work with Father Washington's sons, Kima and Mike, who they there was a daycare there in the building. The UBE, when they had the falling out of the Absalom Jones ceremony that they would have every February, held a black mass there in the gym. So a lot of things has transpired and happened there. And the Washington brothers tried with outside organizations, you know, we think about you, PAM Africa, you know, they may call it her radical, but the MOVE organization, you think about the organizations that met there. And even, you know, I know Pat, you know, we have this discussion about Frank Rizzo all the time, but when.
Yeah, that's your favorite guy. But real quick, we got to go to a quick break. Oh, don't hold that thought. You're listening to Tone and Tenor Radio here on 860 AM. We'll see you in a couple seconds.
Lounge at Germantown Avenue and West Ontario Streets around 1:30 this morning. The man who has not been identified.
I don't know what's going on, but I know that something's wrong. And I know that lately my city has been crazy. It's like every day somebody's gone. And every time I turn around, I hear them gun sounds. Cop signs, man, we need to put the guns down. Everybody wanna be a shooter, scared to fight, so they take a life. Ain't no one-on-ones now. All of this killing, I'm like, when will it stop? And it really don't help that we don't get no help from the cops. They hear a shooting in the hood, they get late to the block. Bet they hear an officer down, they get straight to the block. It's crazy. I'm tired of hearing about these missing babies. Stop the killing and let's find all of these missing babies. I wrote this song cause I know just how it feels to lose somebody you love, and that's real. That's why I don't wanna look up. Every time I look up, I
on the tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of beautiful Bella Kenwood, Pennsylvania. Our topic today is the rise and fall of the iconic historic Church of the Advocate. And with us in studio is Mr. Tyler A. Ray, community organizer, activist and program manager. You know, he's based here in Philadelphia, and he's taking on this Herculean task of getting people to understand the needs and to save one of the most iconic buildings in the city of Philadelphia before some outside the New York developer from somewhere else decides they want to put a wrecking ball to it after they grease the ponds of some of these politicians that will grant them or help them do that. And I'm not saying that's on the table, but, you know, I've seen it happen to iconic buildings in a city that's rich with history and was the first capital of these United States. So we have to start somewhere, and we need to start, black folks, let's stop bickering and fighting. We've got the uptown falling, fell apart due to water and people back and forward. We've had John Coltrane's house, who is a member of the Church of the Advocate. We now have the Church of the Advocate, and it's the Diocese of Pennsylvania should be ashamed of themselves when they knew what was going on and they picked up and moved to higher ground, so to speak, to St. John's in Norristown. They took, redid that. Then they also, another church that was falling apart and two congregations that merged, Church of Crucifixion and St. Mary's Bainbridge, they now, under Bishop Gutierrez, has reopened the Church of the Crucifixion under a woman that was ordained, a Hispanic woman that was ordained, that never went to theological seminary. I'm not saying the name, but Pat knows who I'm talking about. All of this happened, but if you know, Paul Washington was the curator at Crucifixion, which is located on 4th and Bainbridge in Philadelphia. And then moved up to the Church of the Advocate, 18th and Diamond. It's an interesting story, and I know we're here, but there was two gentlemen, I can't even say three now, really, after I saw something on him, that can never be replaced in this city, that were in my lifetime, that were bigger than life. It was the swimmer and the lifeguard, which was the late Canon Thomas W.S. Logan Sr. He was the lifeguard. Father Paul Washington was the swimmer. Father Washington went into the, as the story is told, he went out to the people. Father Logan, if anybody knew Father Logan could pass as an old German, but he was straight black, any black cause, and he would say, Paul, you go into the people because somebody's going to have to get you out. You know, and it was Father Logan that convinced Father Washington to go to Lincoln Divinity School and become an Episcopal priest because Paul, Father Paul, could not afford to go to divinity school. And it was Father Logan who talked him into it. The next person that I would say, another icon from parts of North Philadelphia and Oakland, would be David P. Richardson. You know, this would never be happening if those three men were around. And then there was the late James E. Woodruff, who was a radical. He was more radical than Father Washington.
Yeah, that's pretty extreme.
You know, he was wearing dashikis in the Episcopal Church before Father Jesse Jr. He was the one that was ostracized by the Episcopal Church and went and had to drive a taxi to make ends meet. And in the process of driving a taxi, one night that someone tried to rob him and shot him. He died from his wounds. And only one priest, black priest, went and saw him in the hospital. And that was the late Father Jackson, who wasn't even from Philadelphia. He was from Nigeria. So it's a lot of rich history when you talk about this, but the question is, what do we do? What can we do, or what do you see us trying to do to save this and its rich history, Tyler?
That's a very loaded question, but my personal opinion, the first thing that I think is dangerous, as I stated before, I don't consider myself to be a religious person. But even I disagree with this ideology. I believe that there's an ideology, not only in the Episcopal Church, but in other churches, that ask the question, what is a church? Is it the physical building, or is it the people that make a church?
Right.
And I really feel like this modern thinking, it's part of the reason why the advocate's in this state. I really believe a lot of leadership in the Episcopal diocese have that idea that a church is not a physical building, it's the people. So yeah, if the advocate
But if
falls
you don't have
down,
the people in the Episcopal Church.
See, and that's the next follow-up question that I don't think anyone's ever asked, though.
But see, Father Washington, in an interview, said someone asked him, a noted reporter asked him, well, Father Washington, at your heyday, you had 400 active members. Today, you only have, he said, I'd rather have 40 good members that are active and are concerned about people than 400 people that just show up to church on Sunday. So it's a combination of the sacred space, a meeting place, and the people. But if you're not inviting, as we talked in the beginning, you know, people are not even going to come in here to a meeting. Not even for a meeting. Pat, your thoughts? Probably lost him again. But yeah, these are the things that we really need to focus on. And, you know, and it's time to call the Episcopal Diocese of Pennsylvania on the carpet. Let's stop talking about our presiding bishop who is black. Where is he? Why isn't he looking into this?
I like to say the Episcopal Church is now known as the progressive leftist church, the socially conscious church. But why is it that way? It wasn't always that way.
But most of it started, let's think about it. Most of it started, the LBGQ community started with Father Washington.
Yep.
Homelessness, addressing homelessness started with the Church Advocate from
Father Washington. You're getting to my point. Because we know the Episcopal Church used to be called the Republican Party in Prayer. It used to be a very conservative,
right,
high-class, wealthy, WASPy church. But something happened in the 60s and 70s where the Episcopal Church answered for what they used to be, and they became more progressive. And where did that progressive lean come from?
Well, the Church of the Advocate. With that said, you know, Tyler, how can is if do you want anyone to how do people reach out to you? You know, we will continue this fight. We will work with you as we can, and try to figure this out. So, how will people get in touch with you? And then we've got to get out of here.
Yeah, sure. I greatly appreciate you having me on the show and talking about Church of the Advocate. I can use any help possible. If you ever want a tour, reach out to the Church of the Advocate on any social media. Church of the Advocate on Instagram and Facebook. I run the social media pages. Also, you can contact me personally on my Instagram. My name is Ty_Urbanist on Instagram.
You know, we want to thank Mr. Tyler Ray, community organizer, activist, and program manager for joining us today. Listeners, you can follow us on social media. On Twitter, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. Find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com/ToneTenor to find our page. Please look out for Tone and Tenor in the community and our partnerships within the Delaware Valley and around the country. We want to thank our engineer. Thank you, sir. I'm Randall Jefferson. Opet Edward is our co-host, was with us earlier. And we want to thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voice of the People Talk radio show here on WWDB Talk 860 out of Bellecanwood, Pennsylvania.
Walk with me, I'll walk with you. Down these troubled roads we've stumbled into. We're all in this thing together. We're gonna make it through. If you walk with me, I'll walk with you. Be there for me, I'll be there for you. When we're